Hello everyone. Welcome to the Anatomy at the Art of Healing podcast. I'm Dr. Rajeshwari Rapata, and last time you had learned about the general anatomy of the muscles. Today we are going to proceed with the cardiovascular system. So what is this cardiovascular system? When you split the word cardiovascular, meaning cardio is the heart and the vascular is the vessels which carry all the nutrients and metabolites to their respective appropriate places. So cardiovascular system is the transport system of the body through which the nutrients are conveyed to the places where these are utilized, and the metabolites, that is waste products, are conveyed to the appropriate places from where these are expelled. The conveying medium, it is a tissue, liquid type of tissue, that is the blood, which flows in the tubular channels. So through these tubes, this liquid medium passes. So these tubular channels are the blood vessels. The circulation, it is maintained by the central pumping organ, which is called as the heart. There are certain components of the cardiovascular system. The cardiovascular system, it's a closed system of tubes which is made up of many parts which are based on the structural and topographical characteristics. So what's these topographical characteristics? First, the heart itself, it's a four-chambered muscular organ which pumps blood to various parts of the body. Each half of the heart, it has a receiving chamber called as the atrium. And then there's a pumping chamber which is called as ventricle. So there are two atria and two ventricles. The arteries, these are the second type of the feature. Now these are the distributing channels which carry blood away from the heart. These arteries, they branch like trees on their way to different parts of the body. So the larger arteries, these are rich in elastic tissue. But as the branching progresses, the arteries become smaller and smaller. So there is an ever increasing amount of smooth muscles in their walls. The minute branches, which are just visible to the naked eye, these are called arterioles. So these are the smallest of those arteries. Angion is a Greek word, which means a vessel, a blood vessel or a lymph vessel. So its word derivatives from the word angion, angiology, angiography, hemangioma, thromboangitis, obliterans, these are all the words which have been derived from angion. Next, topographical feature is the veins. So when the veins, the term itself describes that these are the draining channels which carry blood from the different parts of the body back to the heart. So here we can just put an analogy of the river. Just like the rivers, the veins are formed by tributaries. Unlike arteries which have the branches, veins have tributaries. Remember this. The small veins, also called as venules, join together to form larger veins, which is in turn they unite to form greater veins, which are called as the venae cavae. The venae cavae are the greater veins. Coming to the capillaries. Capillaries are the networks of microscopic vessels, and these connect the arterioles and the venules, and these come in intimate contact with tissues for a free exchange of nutrients and metabolites across their walls between the blood and the tissue fluid. The metabolites are partly drained by capillaries and partly by lymphatics. Capillaries, these are replaced by sinusoids in certain organs like liver and the spleen. Sinusoids are the open pools of blood. Functionally, the blood vessels, they can be classified into five groups. Now, these can be the distributing vessels, including the arteries, the resistance vessels, which includes arterioles and the precapillary sphincters. Then there are the exchange vessels, which include capillaries, sinusoids and postcapillary venules. Then the reservoir vessels, also called as capacitance vessels. These include the larger venules and the veins. Then there are the shunts, which include various types of anastomoses. Anastomosis is a network. So here you'll find the distributing vessels, the resistance vessels, the exchange vessels, the reservoir vessels, and the shunts. So in this way, functionally, they are divided into five groups. Next will be the type of circulation of blood. When you come to the types of circulation of blood, mainly the systemic circulation, also called as the greater circulation. Now here, the systemic or greater circulation, the blood flows from the left ventricle through various parts of the body to the right ventricle. From the left side to the right side of the heart. In the pulmonary circulation, which is also called as the lesser circulation, the blood flows from the right ventricle through the lungs to the left atrium. So that is from the right to the left side of the heart. Next is the portal circulation. It is a part of the systemic circulation which has the different characteristics. Let's see this. The blood passes through two types of capillaries before draining into the systemic vein. The vein draining the first capillary network, it is called as the portal vein. It branches like an artery to form the second set of capillaries or sinusoids. For example, the hepatic portal circulation that is related to the liver and the gallbladder. The hypothalamo-hypophyseal portal system or portal circulation that's related near the pituitary gland and hypothalamus. Then there is the renal portal circulation near the kidneys. So these are related to the portal circulation, which is a part of systemic circulation. You can also find there are the certain characteristics of the arteries. And it is important to recognize the characteristic features of arteries. How would you recognize the arteries? First, the arteries, these are thick-walled, being uniformly thicker than the accompanying veins, except for the arteries within the cranium and the vertebral columns, you'll find that these are thick. The arteries are usually accompanying with the veins, with the lymphatic channels, and also some nerve fibers. It's also called as the neurovascular bundle. That's the reason. Now coming to the lumen. Lumen is the hollow space inside the arterial tube. So the lumen is smaller than those of the accompanying veins. The arteries, they have no walls. So they don't have any walls. An artery is usually accompanied by veins and nerves, as I said earlier. The three of them, they form the neurovascular bundle, and these are also supported and surrounded by the fibroareolar sheath. Now it's very important to know that the muscular arterioles, these are responsible for generating the peripheral resistance. That's the reason that it regulates the diastolic blood pressure. So when you see that microscopically, all the arteries, these are made up of three coats. What are these three coats? First one, that is the inner coat, is called as tunica intima. The middle coat is called as tunica media. The outer coat, it is called as the tunica adventitia. Now this tunica adventitia is the strongest of all the three coats. And then this coat merges with the perivascular sheath. The perivascular sheath is the outer covering above the coat, outer coat. The relative thickness of the coats and the relative proportion of the muscular, elastic and the fibrous tissues vary in different types of arteries. And that's what makes those arteries characteristic, depending on their function and activity. You have the blood supply of the arteries too. So how the blood supply of artery? The arteries itself supply blood, but they also need the blood to survive. So the largest arteries of more than 1 mm diameter are supplied by blood vessels. These are called as the nutrient vessels. Also, vasa vasorum. And these form dense capillary network in the tunica adventitia. And they supply the adventitia and outer part of the tunica media. Then the rest of the vessel wall, it also needs the nourishment. So the rest of the vessel wall, that is the intima and the inner part of the media, is nourished directly by diffusion from the luminal blood. That is the blood which is flowing already inside the artery. Minute veins accompany the arteries, draining the blood from the outer part of the arterial wall. There are lymphatics also, which are present in the adventitia. So that's how the blood supply to the arteries is derived. So this was about the different blood supply of the arteries. Coming to the types of the arteries and their structure. So the different types of arteries are the large arteries of the elastic type, that is the aorta and its main branches. That is the, for some examples, you can find that brachiocephalic, the common carotid, the subclavian and the common iliac. Also the pulmonary arteries are the large arteries of elastic type. Second type are the medium and the small arteries of muscular type. Now these are the temporal arteries, the occipital arteries, the radial and the popliteal. There are smaller arteries also. The smallest arteries of muscular type are called as arterioles, and they measure about 50 to 100 micron in diameter. These arterioles, they divide into terminal branches with a diameter of 15 to 20 micron, and these have one or two layers of muscular smooth muscles in their walls. The side branches from these small arteries, they form terminal arterioles. Also these are called as meta arterioles, and these measure around 10 to 15 microns at their origin, and while they terminate they become smaller and it measures about around 5 microns. The terminal narrow end of the meta arteriole, it is surrounded by a precapillary sphincter. These are the precapillary sphincters which regulate the blood flow into the capillary bed. So these are the types of the arteries and the structure. Coming to the palpable arteries, some arteries can be palpable through the skin. Palpable means you can touch it and feel it, that is the palpation. So these arteries can be palpable through the skin, and these are the common carotid, facial artery, the brachial artery, radial, the radial artery and the abdominal artery, the femoral artery, the posterior tibial artery and the dorsalis pedis artery. So these are some of the arteries where we can feel the pulse. Just like the arteries have their own blood supply, they also need the nerve supply. So the nerve supplying to an artery is called as nervi vascularis. Okay, the blood supply is called as vasa vasorum, and the nerve supply of the arteries is called as nervi vascularis. The nerves are mostly non-myelinated sympathetic fibers which are vasoconstrictive in nature. Now a few fibers, these are myelinated as well, and these are believed to be sensory to the outer and the inner cords of the arteries. Now these nerves, they have a vasodilator function, and these vasodilator function innervation is restricted to some of the sites. So these sites, like the skeletal muscle vessels, are dilated by means of cholinergic sympathetic nerves. The exocrine gland vessels, these are dilated on parasympathetic stimulation. And the cutaneous vessels, these are dilated locally to produce the flare, that is the redness, after an injury. The vasodilatation is produced by afferent impulses in the cutaneous nerves which pass antidromically in their collaterals to the blood vessels. That's because of the axon reflex. So that's about the nerve supply of the arteries. Next we'll learn about the veins. This is for the today, and the next episode we'll learn about the veins and its characteristics. Stay tuned until the next episode. This is Dr. Rajeshwari Rapata signing off.